Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, I don't know why we're doing it, because it's just the two of us.
Yeah, why do you do that?
Do you want to go completely old school?
We can go old school. Let's do it.
How did we used to do it when we did old school? What was the opening when
your
we used
rhyme.
To do it?
To, it's your rhyme.
It was
art maker, break faker.
Oh, that's
something.
Right. That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
It's like, hello, welcome. Whether you're an art maker, an art breaker, an art taker, or an art faker, welcome all, because all are welcome to Homegrown, your show about local art here on 94.7.
There we go.
WPVC, I'm here with a woman who is here, even though she's kind of not here. Even though she's kind of
really
sleep
here.
Deprivation will not keep her away.
Man.
Leslie M. Scott Jones.
You know what? I need to learn to say no. That I've now realized that. I need to learn to say, you know what? I actually don't have time for that. That's what I need to learn to do.
That is so much what you need to learn to do.
Because seriously, I've been like running at 110% since April.
And is that tiring you out?
A little bit.
I hate to tell you, but those of us who've been around you,
yeah,
we've just been sitting back waiting for the crash.
Waiting for the crash. Not pitching to help or anything.
We know.
Just waiting
because
for the crash.
Because we know you. It's not like you're not going to do something.
I know. I say yes all the time.
Yeah, you're not going to take on another project. So,
I know. So yeah, I've taken on like two other projects.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have. But they're really cool. They're really cool.
Sweetie, they're never bad.
Like...
You don't get sucked into horrible projects.
Yeah,
this isn't the problem that people have.
And they weren't projects that like I sought out. They were projects that people recommended me for.
Uh huh.
So there's that added pressure of like, okay, this person has said I'm awesome and recommended me.
I got your name.
Right.
I got your name from so-and-so who said that you would just,
were amazing
for this.
You were amazing. And we would love for you to do this.
I said, I've got this thing, which is so difficult, so horrendous, just so I can't imagine. I was thinking that I'd perhaps have to go out to maybe Chicago or L.A. to find someone of the caliber, of the strength, of the fortitude, of the sheer creative imaginativity to do this.
Imaginativity?
And
is that a word?
She said, I know just the person.
That's exactly how it happens.
Is that... And you're like, you had me at imaginativity.
Right? Like, yes. So, yeah, two extra projects that, you know, I was basically recommended for, so I can't say no. I mean, they've recommended me for it, so I can't... But, you know, that then it becomes you now have to live up to your hype.
Right. Right.
You know, so
because
I'm kind of...
it's all about believing the hype.
You know what?
Yeah.
I wish I believed my hype. That's been my problem like the last 3 weeks. I don't believe my hype anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
Because wow, that's a change.
You're
a big old hype believer.
No, well, not other people's, not mine.
You're very good with your own hype.
I am.
Yes, you are. You set up like your own little hype stand. You're like. You're like Lucy from Charlie Brown. You've got the little thing. The hype is in.
You know what? I'm charging more than five cents. I'm saying that.
See?
I'm an artist. I'm starving. Give me money. I'm 5 cents. Nah. Give me 500. You give me 500. Oh my goodness! Okay.
Maybe we should
go to our first guest.
We should stop enjoying this
because he is sitting here looking at us like we are absolutely insane.
I think he's just pleased to get the show.
Well, and, you know, well, and he's and, you know, he's a pastor, so we don't We don't want to scare him too much.
Coming to the show for the first time, we've already toned down our language. I'm just saying, there were three jokes that I just let go totally.
Till I leave. Yeah,
just like, I don't need that kind of trouble.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Coming to the show for the first time, Pastor Xavier Jackson. How are you, sir?
I'm glad to be in the number.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. You are connected with a show that is coming to town pretty soon. Justice on Trial, Black Lives Matter 2. It is, can you tell us a little bit about the show?
It's a wonderful, motivational, educational, inspirational picture for not just the African American community, but for everyone to have a fresh look at some of our history, that we can understand that, yes, all lives matter. We say that, but Black lives matter also.
As well.
Yeah.
As well. Also.
Yeah.
There you go. So, my understanding is, I'm sorry, did you?
No, go ahead.
So my understanding is that this is a play that is being toured by its playwright and producer, Chad Lawson Cooper.
Right.
And we are part of the tour. He's working on it. He's developing it, right?
That's correct. Yeah. The Hammerstein will present this play for the month of February 2018.
Oh.
So it's going to be pretty extensive. It's already been, we're on the second leg. Charlottesville is being blessed to have this producer Chad Lawson Cooper to come to this area to let us have a taste of Broadway.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And a real sense of our own history.
I think this is the first time Charlottesville has been on the tour for like for something from Broadway
to prep a Broadway
like show. Ever. I mean,
you don't think we're part of the Broadway prep tour?
No, I don't think that's a regular thing.
We're gonna preview it out in Boston. We're gonna take it down to a run.
Yeah,
and of course Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, of course, it's gotta go.
That goes without saying, Charlottesville, because
right.
You know what they say: if it don't play in Seaville,
yes.
no one's gonna see it. No Seaville, no Seaway.
Oh my God! He said no producer ever. But anyway,
this is what we imagine Broadway producers sound like. They haven't really changed since the 1930s.
Wow.
So you're actually in the show, right?
I'm actually in the show.
Oh, and what part do you play?
I'm one of the jurors. I am a pastor, and I'm playing a pastor.
All right.
As a part of the jury.
Okay.
And it's so that people understand. My understanding is the show is basically a trial.
Right.
And is putting justice on trial, right?
Yes.
The concept of justice.
The concept of justice. Yeah, for that the African Americans are seeking reparations for, you know, the things that were promised that we never got. And things that other people got that we should have been included in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's the concept of the play. There's a trial. There is jury deliberation. All of it is incredible. The actors are wonderful. I'm not speaking of myself. I'm speaking of the others.
No. It's really okay to toot your own horn every once in a while
you.
Now.
Hype queen. Told you.
It's okay to, you know, recognize your own
some great professional. Great professional actors, incredible vocalists. Alicia
so there's,
Cooper
there's
is.
Singing?
There's some singing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right, wait a minute. What kind of singing?
It's some good singing.
No, I mean,
it's all good.
I like to see what kind of singing? Some good singing.
You know, all right.
You know, they say we can do a couple of things. Singing is one of them.
Right, yes.
We're not going to continue with the colloquialism.
That's one of the things we are allowed to do.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh, don't get me started.
All these black people, I mean, they're so difficult, and I wish they could sing, said no oppressor ever.
Ever. Right. Ever. Could you sing that song? I like that song. Could you sing that song one more time?
Oh, God. So you are, you're a local pastor.
I'm a local pastor.
And you're the pastor of Chapman Grove Baptist?
Yes.
How did you get involved in this project? And how long have you been working on the project?
So It's been a couple of months now, October, and I was recommended by another pastor, and when he came down, he sought me out, came by to the office, and we had conversation. He had previously peeped my bio, so he thought I could do something, so
that,
I'm just a push in right now. I'm hoping to live up to the hype. And so it's just been really good working with Chad Lawson Cooper and Alicia Cooper and some of the other actors as well. It's just really great to be a part of this production.
Alicia is Chad's wife, and she's on the show as
that's
well.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah. Incredible voice.
Oh.
Incredible voice.
Good.
Yeah.
So so this goes up December 8th, right?
Right. Friday night. The only place to be is the Martin Luther King Performing Arts Center.
All right.
At 7:30 p.m.
All right. So it's only one night?
Only one night in Charlottesville.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I think that's only because of availability.
Yeah, of space, yeah.
Of space.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Because this is a pretty packed town.
Yeah, we got a whole lot of stuff going on. Some of it is okay, but... We got a lot of stuff.
We have a lot of stuff going on. Trust me, we do a list of all the artistic stuff going on every week, and we're like,
it's not even all of it. It's a partial list.
It's like,
don't say all.
There's
it's
a
just,
lot of stuff.
It's a partial list.
There's a lot of stuff. Just saying. So we know you have to go because you got to go preach.
Well, it's my anniversary, so I can preach. I got a couple minutes.
Okay.
Still some
all right.
I appreciate that.
You know, I do not want the congregation to miss out. That's all I'm saying.
Right. And the interview too early.
So is this like the first like major show that you've done? Like, what have you done before?
Probably major, but I've done some local plays here in Charlottesville. Actually,
okay.
I've done some outside of here, but since I've been here for 13 years. We've done two or three pretty big plays here in the city. I don't know. There's some things that just come, and other people make them happen. And so I just thank God for vision and provision, because He gives all that we need to make what we need happen.
So the reason I ask is because, you know, we're having auditions for Joe Turner's Come and Gone on December 17th and 18th.
Please.
And I wouldn't want you to miss out.
Oh, wow.
It's
That's all
Broadway.
I'm saying. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. We're, you know.
No.
But he lives here. But he lives here. Yeah. So I'm just saying.
You are like a virus.
You know, you might want to,
like,
you know,
virus.
Mention
like,
to your congregation.
You're already doing two,
you know,
three things at
exactly.
the same time.
She wants me to be like her.
I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
Might want to mention to your congregation auditions at
walked
the Jefferson
in,
School African American Heritage Center December 17th and 18th.
Out and tired and rallied.
I'm just saying.
Now reaching out.
Wow.
You know, you might want to stop by.
I might send
audition.
Some people. I know.
I you should definitely
people,
send some
I know
people.
Some people.
There you go. Continue this. Continue it. Just recommend some people so they have to do it. See? See?
Yeah. I told her you were so
like
talented and powerful. I told her you had a lot of imaginativity, so you had to do this show.
That is wild.
Is that even a word?
It is now.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking. You're normally like the word police, so I didn't want to.
Three times, and it's in Congress.
Okay. All right, cool.
There you go.
No, I'm fine with that.
So what's it been like working with Chad?
Oh, it's been interesting. It's been different. You know, being the senior pastor and being the person that's the go-to person, having a go-to person, it's a change.
Right. I would think like that's a switch in roles for you.
It's a change.
Is there a little bit of relaxation? Is it nice to not have to be in charge?
Oh, wow. yes. But at the same time, you still are in charge of something,
right?
And so, it is I'm on my pins and needles all the time because I'm, every time he comes, there's something else that we've got to go over.
Right.
And it kind of helps me to see how I'm coming off to the congregation and my leadership at the church.
Right.
I need to make sure that I'm speaking really clearly I'm not really harassing people.
When you walk up to someone and they get that look on their face, you're like, oh, now that's what that looks like.
Exactly.
Oh, that's what that is.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
But he's been really good. He's been to a lot of events, even at Chapman Grove. He's been in town a lot, in and out. Last night, we celebrated my 13th pastoral anniversary.
Congratulations.
He was there. Thank you very much. He was there. And it's just wonderful for him to have his presence in the building.
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah.
So a show like this where justice is on trial, my understanding, it's on trial by some notable people like Sojourner Truth,
yes,
Harriet Tubman, they are prosecuting,
mm-hmm.
right? I imagine that, at least it is my hope, that this show can get rather emotionally charged.
Wow. That's a good phrase, emotionally charged, and those are real words. but there will be every emotion shared during this presentation. There will be some probably frustration, because a lot of times we suppress a lot of our feelings, and then when something comes up, it just comes out all over again.
Right.
So there'll be wonderful times of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some remembered pain and then some frustration and anger that will come up. But after all, that's what life is about. Joys, pain, sorrow, and celebration all over again, just because we made it through all of that. I feel like preaching. You're going to have to get me off of here real quick.
No, that's okay.
Too close to the preaching.
You warming up.
No, that's okay.
You warming up.
Yeah. And we don't mind being your warm-up today. That's really okay. How did Chad bring the show here? Because, I mean, he has family here, right? Is that how that happened? Or
no, I don't think he has family here. I think what happened, in light of August 12th the issue that we had in, was it May?
Right.
May and July, yeah.
Well, this is a piece that also helps to heal a city that is in dire need of healing. And so this is I believe he felt like this would be some wonderful salve to put on some open wounds that will help in the healing process. It was definitely, we've got to go to Charlottesville with this piece, so that Charlottesville, in the midst of all of that craziness, can have some enjoyment, even though we will go through changes in the play. It's wonderful to see all ethnicities in the play and see how they work together and how they upset one another. But in the end, I'm not trying to give the play away, but
right.
You need to come. You need to be there. You need to see it. It's a good thing. It's for all family, grandma, young children, young adults, the millennials, because some of our millennials probably have no idea about many of the things that will be presented in this play,
which is a strange, it's a strange thing, because I've got some age on me. I've got more than some age on me.
Hold on. Let me get that. There's someone on your shoulder.
Is there
someone
on my shoulder? Just get up.
There we go.
Getting some of that age off my shoulder.
Thank you.
If you can get the age off my left knee. Can I have the left knee I had when I was 20?
All right, hold on.
my father sat in sit-ins. So I'm just saying, like, when I grew up, there was all of this Black history that was barely history.
Right.
That was just that we just knew because we had people turning around saying, okay, this is what just happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is what you have to know. And here, bump, 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 bump. And so I always assumed that this would be a consistent and persistent part of the Warp and Woof.
But it's not in the
culture,
forefront
so it's,
of our educational system.
And it's really surprising to run into people who are younger than I who's like, oh yeah, we don't know that. It's like what?
Oh my god. No. I mentioned Diane Nash to a black UVA student and they were like, who? I'm like, seriously? You know what? Go away from me right now. You need to walk away from me right now because I can't with you right now. Come back to me in like 10 minutes because I'm like.
So here's the question though, as if there's only one.
here's the question.
The question. I can certainly see where this show is appealing to African Americans. You said that it's a show for all generations. Is it a show also for all ethnicities?
I think it's a show for all ethnicities, particularly if we all are planning to heal, because the relevancy of the play is not relegated to African Americans. Our counterparts, our white counterparts, need to see how they are, how things were, so that they have an understanding of our frustration, our, anguish in the midst of all this craziness we just experienced. And so everybody wants to heal. Everybody wants to do something. Well, you can't do anything when you stay away from the problem. You don't understand the problem. And this is an opportunity to help people understand the whole problem and then be able to offer some solution or some help in the healing process.
And plus there's drama and singing, and like, you're not going to get a better way to confront the problem.
There you go.
It's not going to get nicer than this. Pastor Jackson, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Yeah, we'll see everyone at the Martin Luther King Performing Arts Center Friday, December the 8th, 7:30 p.m. You want to be there because that's where all the roads are heading.
All right.
If you got traffic jams, stay in the jam. We'll see you on Friday night.
Justice on Trial, Black Lives Matter 2, Martin Luther King Jr. Performing Arts Center, December 8th. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Let us do a drop and then run through the things that need to be run through.
Can we see the list of things?
Drop! Do it.
All right, here are just some of the events happening this week. Currently running through January 16th, the Klugiru Aboriginal Art Collection presents an off-site exhibition, Defending the Ocean, 21 works of contemporary Indigenous artists celebrating the central importance of the ocean to human life in the Charles L. Brown Science and Engineering Library in UVA's Clark Hall. Currently running January 19th, Drawn to Charlottesville, a group of 12 local artists being shown at Second Street Gallery. Through December 29th, UVA student Christian Heinrich presents her work, Transient Places, at the New City Arts Project. Through December 27th, the American Shakespeare Center presents its holiday season with A Christmas Carol, a new holiday play for them. Every Christmas story ever told, and then some, at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Through December 10th, The Christmas Story of the Musical at Four County Players. Oh, crap. Did you not get a ticket? Sorry. Sold out.
Sold out.
Next time, gotta be quicker, people. Sorry. Today, authors CJ and Maddie Green read from their newly published children's book, The Very Persistent Pirate, at New Dominion Bookshop at 1 p.m. December 6th, Eyes on Art Tour engages people with Alzheimer's disease and meaningful discussions about art at UVA's Fralin Art Museum. December 7th, UVA MFA Reading Series continues this week with Helena Chung and Cassie Davies at New Dominion Bookshop. Check out Transient Places, a series of new paintings exploring the fleeting chaos of everyday phenomena from local artist Kristen Heinrich at New City Arts. December 8th, Let There Be Light, an evening of light-centered installations at the V. Earl Dickinson Building at Piedmont Virginia Community College.
And can I say, Let There Be Light. Let There Be Light. So love that. So love that. So, tried to see it last year.
Yeah.
Cold as... But...
That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
There was a cold snap.
Right.
And it was so horrible. But...
I remember that. Yes.
The exhibit's so wonderful. The weather's so horrible. Let's hope it's better weather this year. Got to see Let There Be Light.
Well, you know, global warming has kicked in, apparently. But December 9th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., head to the McGuffey Arts Center for music, glassblowing, shopping, art demonstrations, and donuts. Okay, you had me at donuts.
Donuts!
Enjoy December 9th. Enjoy 10:30 a.m. a free guided tour of the Kluge-Ruh Aboriginal Art Collection. Oh, cool. You know, I've never done a tour of the whole thing.
I'm saying.
Yeah. That might be fun.
I'm saying.
Okay. Looking Inward, Meditative Art Tour, and UVA Fralin's Art Museum of Art presents an informational... Wait a minute, there's music playing. What are you doing? presents an informal lunchtime talk about the museum's collections and special exhibitions. December 16th through the 22nd, Charlottesville Ballet's The Nutcracker at the V.L. Dickinson Building at Piedmont Virginia Community College. And... for your musical options this week.
Today, Bill Adams at Elmarle Cider Works at 2:30 p.m. The Pollux at Star Hill Brewery Tap Room at 3 p.m. Holiday Concert by the Piedmont Virginia Community College Chorus at the Theodore Dickinson Building at 3 p.m. Also today, Holiday Jubilee by the Nelson County Community Orchestra at the Rockfish Valley Community Center at 4 p.m. Also, tonight, the Waynesboro Choral Society does a concert benefiting the Salvation Army at the Main Street United Methodist Church. And former guests Mariana Bell and Balman Abbott are playing at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. Tomorrow, it's the UVA Wind Ensemble playing their fall concert at UVA's Hunter Smith Band Building. The Valley musicians will get together and perform a Christmas benefit concert at the Waynesboro Seventh-day Adventist Church. On December 5th, Bob Huntington and then Travis Elliott play Fellini's. On December 7th, the Rugged Arts Hip Hop Showcase at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar.
Rugged Arts!
Rugged Arts, December 8th, Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. I just had somebody the other day say, hey, have you heard Red and the Romantics? You should check out Red and the Romantics. Boom, there's your opportunity. December 8th, also Susie and the Pistols at the Glasshouse Winery. Full Tones to the Max at Dirty Nelly's. The Ragnarockers at the Wild Wolf Brewery.
I love that band name.
And your funky punk rock Cajun band, Jolie Fee, at Fellini's on December 9th. The Blue Ridge Chamber Orchestra plays a program of Holst, Barber, Glazunov, and Vivaldi at the Christ Episcopal Church. Great place to hear some music, Christ Episcopal Church. Check it out December 9th, Mojo Pie at Albemarle Cider Works, and Lar at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, the Pollux again at the Batesville Market, and our seven-piece adventure pop favorite, We Are Star Children, playing the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Telemetry, the new music project at the Bridge PAI. We just did a homegrown on that a couple weeks ago. Check out SIVOPodcast.com to get the lowdown on that. Also, Lightning Road at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. And DJ Groovematic at Rapture every Friday morning. It's the West African Drum Circle at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. And Seafoot, the Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, doing their weekly open jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church.
Where else?
Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Also, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Salas at the Bebedero. Every Wednesday, the open mic night at Pro Reynada Farm Brewery. Bam! The open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo. Bam! Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9. Bam! Bachata Fusion at the Anteroom, sponsored by the Charlottesville Salsa Club. Bam! And DJ and Friends at the Bebedero. Bam! And the Mike Rosinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Ooh. Of course, every Thursday it's Lua at the Bebedero. And if you missed all of that and still need an art blast that is going to last, John Dearth! The John Dearth Quintet at Miller's. Woo!
Hello, this is Craig Jennings. You are listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
30 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice, right? Of Charlottesville. The only show, the only place that would put a show like us on the air. Thank you, 94.7.
What?
Stay tuned afterwards.
I resent that remark.
For the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is going to be Bob Gibson from UVA's Center for Politics, talking about the effect of Emperor T. Rumpus's election on Virginia and on the country at large.
T. Rumpus, that's awesome. It makes him sound like a weird dinosaur that we haven't discovered as yet, you know, with short little arms and a huge big head and colored
small
wrong
hands.
So he can't
really teeny hands.
No, they're the hugest hands. These hands, they're so big.
That's awesome.
As they grasp on your taxes.
And other things, apparently.
Oh my. Oh my.
Hey, he said it. I'm just repeating it.
You moved on that joke like I'm sorry. And then you took it out. And then you took the joke out for furniture shop.
What was that? Furniture shop.
I don't know.
Anyway.
What are you doing today? The sinus is getting to you that much?
Oh my gosh, can this allergy attack please be over?
I'm so sorry, sweetie.
Please.
You know why
it's happening, though.
Do you know, I'm just going to be your mother for a minute.
Okay,
you know why this is happening, right? Because last year when this happened, I told you to get some local honey and put it in your tea to build up your resistance so this wouldn't happen again next year. And you didn't listen to me, did you?
See,
no. I told you what to do to solve it. You didn't do it. Now you're whining and you're complaining. I can't with you.
If you think that showing some concern for me is an accurate impersonation of my mother, you obviously have not met her.
Oh!
Let's head to our next guest.
Wow. Okie dokie.
Joining us from a little known theater in town.
Right. Teeny tiny little theater.
A newish type. A plucky little theatrical collective.
Yes.
Trying its best to make its...
It's the little engine that could.
It's the little theater that could.
Live arts theater. 27 years. Yes.
Live arts theater in downtown Charlottesville. We've got some of the crew from their current upcoming musical, Sweet Charity, here. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Hey, there we go.
Oh, wow. They're awake.
Most notably with director Maria Reif here. How are you doing, Maria?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Get closer to that mic.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
There you go. Sweet Charity. That is... Okay, so that's a musical that I think many people have heard of, but maybe have not have seen, maybe do not know of. Tell us, what is Sweet Charity?
Sweet Charity is a fun Broadway musical from the 60s that had the book written by Neil Simon, the lyrics by Dorothy Fields, and the music by Cy Coleman, and it was originally choreographed and directed by Bob Fosse.
Holy smoking catfish, that's a lot of 1960s Broadway talent right there in one little rapper.
That's a lot.
That sure is, and it's based on an original Fellini film, so it's got this interesting pedigree. Oh, yes, I know.
Because you didn't have enough going on.
I know. And it follows the adventures of a dance hall hostess or taxi dancer, whatever you want to call her, named Charity Hope Valentine, whose name basically says it all.
Oh, yeah.
And she looks for love on the mean streets of 1960s New York.
And now, boy, does she look.
And boy, does she look.
So is this early 60s, might as well be 50s New York? Is this late 60s Summer of Love New York? Is this mid 60s?
No, this is 1966 New York, so we are in
a
transition time. Yeah.
So that's
all of those New Yorks.
Just 2 years after the Beatles landed on the shore. That's just a... Okay. All right, yeah. Dig it. So, Here's the thing. Like there's only one. I'm gonna keep saying that all the time. It can be so difficult to deal with time period, and to try to determine whether or not time period is important to replicate or not replicate. How important it is for the story. How important it is for the audience to get, like, for instance, Live Arts' most recent production of Guys and Dolls. No one really cares exactly when it was set. It's just like, oh, it's like some wacky 30s, 40s, hey, we're guys and we're dolls and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, I think that was a song
just
in
like
the
that.
Show,
just
right?
Like,
that's how the second act begins.
Right, of course. Right.
Hey, we're guys and we're dolls,
right,
da-da-da-da-da-da. I remember that. I was on only a few medications at the time, so I'm sure
I'm sure that my recall was completely unclouded by artificial stimulants.
Oh, my God.
But so what's the what has been the deal with Charity in terms of trying in terms of you dealing with this time period? Has is it important? Is it not? What?
Yeah, I think so. So we made it, we went full-blown period piece with this because where it is in the 1960s, you do have all of these different types of characters and types of New York. It's not as if the 1960s were a monolithic culture, you know? Some people were children of love people, other people were absolutely not that. And while I actually do think the show has contemporary relevance today, especially with all sorts of the stuff you read about in the media and the news. We wanted to put it in the 1960s because it allows us to really almost amp up the characterizations of these different people in a way that, you know, if you put it in a place like today, it you would be making caricatures and it wouldn't feel quite the same. So you get to play with character, I think, a little bit more by removing it slightly to the past. And also because we had all these crazy big characters in the 60s, especially at this particular point.
Right, right. Costume designer Miriam Halpern, you're here. So I imagine that creating the atmosphere of 66, creating the atmosphere of 66, that's going to fall heavily on your shoulders. Tell us what that was like, what that's been like.
Well, that's a loaded question there, Clinton. I had a blast trying to think in terms of the 1960s. I grew up in the 60s and have a good familiarity with the variety of clothing styles during that period of time.
Right, right.
Love clothing anyway, but the 60s would be a really fun period. And as Maria pointed out, I mean, you had people like icons of that period from Audrey Hepburn to Twiggy Bobby Seals to, you know, you had all these varieties of people and icons to base the clothing on.
So in something like that, do you try to go for a more accurate representation of the clothing diversity of the area, or are you trying to present a more reductive, almost caricaturistic presentation of it so people can say, oh, it's like 60s?
I would have to say that, no, we were going sort of a more broad approach, not reductive. We were really going for a very broad approach, so that trying to meet the character style with the period. So, in other words, there are some beatniks. There are some hippies. There are some, you know, culturally. Well, and then, of course, you have these tango girls that have to transcend that period, because basically those were girls who were kind of trapped in a period that was not 60s. They were
right, and it's like so. It's like a, it's they're dance hall girls.
They're
right?
dance hall girls, exactly.
Which because there were dance halls in the 60s.
There
still?
Were, there
of
were,
course,
but they were but they were sort
you
of
say of course. Like, that's only a few years from Deep Throat. Who's still going to a dance hall?
Well, lonely men who can't get a date.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Leslie. Exactly.
I wouldn't know about those guys.
No. No, you wouldn't.
The original characters were prostitutes, by the way, in the Fellini film.
Right, yeah, they were prostitutes.
Okay, yeah. I'll see now.
Okay. Oh, dancing he doesn't
get. The light
get.
Of realization.
that he gets.
Darn straight.
You know, there are tons of references, by the way, in this show to prostitution, obviously, because some of the girls are engaging in that. Mm-hmm. There are also a million references in this show to drugs and marijuana.
Yep.
And so it's a very fascinating piece, well, not just for the clothing, but in terms of the time period that they're trying to cover. And the writers are were an interesting group as well.
Well, yeah, yeah. Was there any scandal involved in the show in 66 when it first hit the stage? Because 2 years later, it's Hair.
Right.
And am I right? Isn't Hair 68?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
2 years later, it's Hair, and they're saying,
you know,
they're saying the word that the FCC won't let us say on the air for the first time on stage.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, I'm not totally up on my history of when it premiered, but I don't believe that there was any controversy with it because it deals with these issues in a way that is either oblique, like they mention prostitution, but they never say prostitution by name.
Oh, Neil Simon.
Yes.
Oh,
so they don't
Neil.
Do by name. And also, when you render something in a comic fashion, oftentimes it can slide under the radar in a way that a drama cannot.
Oh, Neil Simon.
Neil. Oh, Neil. So let's talk about the music.
Love to talk about the music.
Yes!
So, okay. So Dorothy Fields doing lyrics since the 30s, right? 30s and 20s. She and her brother were doing lyrics for Cole Porter musicals in the 40s. Cy Coleman, who I think early in his career for Cy Coleman, but still in all, like he's not, we don't think of him as a modern type composer. Like he's not going to go right here. Tell us about the music.
The music is super energetic and fun. It turns out a lot of people do know the songs. Mm-hmm. There's
they
a couple.
That's
from this musical, which is really fun. Big Spender and If They Could See Me Now. It's super fun to play. And, you know, they're talking about time period and music, I believe, kind of transcends time and we can kind of pull in all kinds of genres, even in one musical. We've made it our own. And so in the space at Live Arts, we can't have a full orchestra.
What does that mean? You've made it your own?
So you know, normally it's written for orchestra and there's violins and there's...
And a big brass section,
yeah, exactly.
Imagine.
Trombones and a rhythm section, including electric guitar. And so I have to find musicians because we can't have 18 people in there. We can have five, not only space-wise, but also because Live Arts doesn't use microphones on their actors. So we have to be careful of sound balance. So I have to hire people who can do many things at once, including the bass player also plays electric guitar. My trumpet player who the trombone has the melody there, but we don't have a trombonist. So can you add the melody here? And he's like writing things out, you know, handwriting. So, and then, you know, a reed player that can play saxophone, clarinet, and flute. And I'm even playing the flute some because I was a flute major in college and I like to throw in when I can to play the flute. But so we make it our own in that the melody is missing here. I need someone to play it. Can you catch it there? And so they're writing some things handwritten. And then...
Yeah, so how much as a music director, because you've been doing it a while,
mm-hmm.
how much as a music director is it about basically reorchestration? Because dealing with exactly what you're talking about when you're taking a score, and I think a lot of people don't realize mm-hmm. the challenge that it presents to take a score that is written for a full orchestra and to try to do it with a small piece, and that there's certain practicalities mm-hmm. that you're talking about where, you know, different parts of an orchestra will have the melody line and suddenly you've got to find who takes this, who takes that.
That's right. One of the main things I've always told my bands is that the greatest compliment we could ever receive is, oh my word, there was a band? That's a wonderful thing for someone to say, because we're there to serve the actors mm-hmm. and to paint the colors that are in the scene, you know? So it has to complement what they're doing. So sometimes if the melody is not played because the singers are singing it, I'm just fine with that. But we have to serve it in a different way. And I hear something low on here. And Maria said at one point, hey, can you play this melody, but play it way down low because it's a somber moment, you know? Or you know, lighthearted. And then we play something high, and that's when the flute comes out. So depending on the instrument, depending on the song, this is what I feel, this is what I hear, and that's what we end up saying. And I surround myself with musicians who are better than myself and who I can say, hey, I need this, and I look at them and they do it. You know, just because they're tracking with me on what the scene and the music requires. And as it is, you know, in the underscoring, it's got to serve the scene, and I believe underscoring can bring that element that you didn't know it could, based on what the actors are talking about. So I don't know. It's that process that I totally love, is being behind the scenes and creating something really kind of emotional and, I don't know, just kind of a sight for the ears.
I like that.
Yeah, I did. So I just want to brag just briefly about these two women, starting with Kristen here. So one of the real pleasures as a director is working with people who are really, really good and are open to collaboration. And so when we were doing some of these scenes, we would say, let's try it with the underscoring. Now let's try it without the underscoring. Now let's try the underscoring as like a flute or an organ or something. And Kristen not only rolls with all the punches, she comes up with ideas. So there's a lot of sound effects effects in the show, and almost all of them come from the band, which is really, really cool. So they're actually live, they're timed perfectly. It's
and I have a very proud moment. I am actually the elevator ding, and I'm actually the elevator buzzer. So when he goes to press it, you know, in the air, he's pressing the button. That's me going ding. My solo, my buzzer, my elevator buzzer solo.
And I saw opening night. She was on it. She was on it, timed perfectly every time. I was
just
like,
but my heart rate was very, very high. I was very nervous. How did I get this wrong? Elevator buzz.
And that's the joy of live theater, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And I gotta say, so my husband is also in theater, and he's very critical, particularly of me.
In a good way.
In a good way. And he came away, and he loved the show. But one of the things he said, those costumes are amazing. They are some of the best costumes I've ever seen. And there's a kind of ending surprise. Mm. And it's costume-wise, it's a very difficult thing. And we only added it in a couple of weeks ago. And this show has well over 100 costumes that Mimi and Tammy, the co-designer, created or found in some way. And when I said a couple weeks ago, I've got this crazy idea for the end. It's going to be a lot of work for you. What do you think about that? And they said, that sounds great. And that's not what everyone would say. And
no, it's not what everyone would say. How did you get to work with these people?
I don't know. The fickle
Cheapers.
Finger of Satan.
2 weeks before. 2 weeks before open, you want to add something? Are you nuts, woman?
Let's do a drop, shall we?
And pay a bill or half a bill?
Half a bill.
Yeah.
Sixth of a bill. 18th of a bill. 49 minutes past the hour. You listen to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local arts. And it's brought to you by the fine law firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson, and Burke. Legal services like a song. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is going to be Bob Gibson from UVA Center for Politics, talking about the effect of Emperor T. Rumpus and his election and the effect on Virginia and on the country at large, at huge. The country at huge.
It's huge.
The huge country. And everyone is going to buy something of mine. We're here. We're here in complete disregard of the Emollients Clause with our friends from Live Arts, Director Maria Reif, Kristen Baltus, Musical Director, and Costume Designer Miriam Halpin, all from the current production of Sweet Charity.
Woo!
Woo!
Sorry, that just came out.
Of yours.
Oh! See, now she's doing inside stuff from the show. See, that's not nice.
I thought she was just talking to FCC Chairman Ajit Pai. As he takes net neutrality.
Please.
Rips it up into little teeny tiny pieces.
You know what?
And throws it out the window.
You know what? If he wants to call me, I'll take that phone call.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take that phone call.
Please. Please, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai. Call us.
He won't like it, the conversation, but
he won't be able to broadcast the conversation.
That's right. Okay, so I think for me, so I went to see opening night. Oh my God. I think the highlight for me was seeing Daryl back on stage. Seriously, like, because he does a show like once every like 4 or 5 years. And he got, seriously, Clinton, seriously, you have to see this. Like,
talk about costuming.
When he comes out, what an uproar, huh?
I know. Oh, my God. I was in the balcony, and he came out, and I was like, yes, yes, all of that. That's awesome. Yeah, so if you're in for a huge treat when Daryl makes his big entrance.
So a show like this, the technical demands, the creative demands, talk about, I mean, how talk about the practicalities of the logistics. That is to say, how much time did you have to practice this score? I mean, how many people did you have working on these costumes?
Well, really, it was two of us working on costumes, so that, right. That was easy to answer.
How many costumes in the show?
Actually, I have not counted them, but Maria's right. It's over 100.
And yeah. Two of you
yes.
Make those.
Well, we don't make them all. We have pulled many of them, but we made some, yes. But
how many did you have to construct?
Oh, dear. Well, I know 10 definitely were constructed from scratch. 10 definitely. And then others were modified. And, of course, the final costume that we're all talking about is also constructed entirely.
Right.
So, at least that.
But there's a lot of wig work, too.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
yes, Laura Slack was responsible for the wigs.
Yeah, I mean,
beautiful job.
Yeah, a lot of wig work. I was like, I know her. That ain't her hair. And I can say that because I recently purchased some of my own. So it's okay.
Which is why they still let Leslie into Live Arts and they won't let me, because Leslie will just say, I know her. I'm the one who stands up in the audience like, J'accuse! J'accuse! Not your
Clinton,
falsity!
That's the wrong play.
I just love that play so much. I just try to bring it back whenever I can.
Oh my God.
Kristen, how much time did you guys have to rehearse?
Well, you know, I mean, we started rehearsals in September, right?
Right, yeah.
For the cast. And for the band, I had one rehearsal with them before our sits probe, which is sitting with the cast. So where we go through all the music and kind of it's more a rehearsal for the band so we can hear how the cast is doing, where do we play exactly. So this particular one... We didn't start rehearsing as a band until the week, five days before opening our preview. Yeah, so it was very, very quick. Yes, absolutely. Yep.
And can it be difficult then transition from having the cast singing just to say piano accompaniment to that, because there's a recording that I heard. I can't remember how I ran across it, but there's a recording I heard of Rex Harrison in Final, you've heard that too, right?
Yeah,
it's the weirdest. It's the weirdest thing. It's this recording of Rex Harrison in like final rehearsals for My Fair Lady, and the band, the orchestra is playing underneath him for I guess the first time, and he's stopping the rehearsal, saying, "I can't. Like I've never heard that part before. I don't know where I'm going to come in. I can't go on with that." And they're saying, "Well, you're just gonna have to, dear. It's like it's after the deely 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 part. It's like I'm not going to be able to hear the deely deely part. It's this weird moment."
No, I mean, I'm an actor, and can be a real problem. Now, granted, most of us can't be Rex Harrison and stop rehearsal. And
right.
He was a little bit freaking out because I heard that recording, too.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop!
Done. I'm sorry.
Stop.
This Broadway show will have to stop.
But prior to the sits probe, it's just the piano. So it's Kristen doing everything. And then hearing, say, the difference between, say, a note on a bass versus a piano really clearly plunking out your note for you is totally different. And then that's to assume, of course, that the band plays everything perfectly the first time, which sometimes you don't. Like, you might be listening for a melody, and if it's, say, a clarinetist and not the pianist for the first time and they miss it, it can be very difficult.
Yeah.
But it's also really magical. When all of a sudden, like when we heard Big Spender and we hear those trumpets going for the first time, it's cool.
I do tell the cast, like, throughout the process, it's like, it's going to sound different, you know, it's just me right now. I got to tell you, I'm sure they were very thrilled during the Frug. The Frug is a, I don't know, 4-5 minute dance number.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no singing in it, but there's a drum solo for about, I don't know, 20 measures in it. And during rehearsals, I'm sure all they heard from me was, drums, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know. So to finally have Rob...
And there'll be a beat here.
And it'll
be interesting.
Like
2, 6.
Exactly. So when Rob Dunnenberger, my drummer who I adore working with, when he first came in, and it was probably this music to their ears, literally, instead of Kristen going, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So it is a different thing, but I got to tell you, I think we set them up for... Because we rehearse off-site at this Rehearsal Z space downtown, that everything is different. So when we move into
the building, and when we get, you know, now I'm up on the balcony and not, you know, 5 feet from them. Everything's different, and the actors that we cast, they're
just,
all.
Just to clarify that for our listeners who might have missed that. So when you guys rehearse, a lot of your to make it even more difficult, a lot of your rehearsal is not even on the stage, not even in the same building.
A bulk of it is offsite, and we it's all with tape. And oh, don't step over that tape because you've actually just fallen 3 feet. You know, exactly. So it's the whole thing is a challenge, but it's also newness, and that's when people are definitely more on their toes and they're just listening and enjoying the whole process of putting this creation together. That's what I love so much about this, is that it starts in a building downtown. No one knows each other a lot of times. We don't really know the story, and then we put it together, and then it gets put to music, and then there's lights and costumes, and then people come and see it, and then they're laughing at us. Uh-huh. You're like, what? It's so fun. The creative process is the best.
Seriously, 6 days? You only start, like, with the full band before open?
This particular one. Wait, sometimes we've done it more, but this one, with our schedules, this is what we had to work out. So,
So we only have a minute or so left. I want to see if we can actually get through this minute with a really quick question.
Okay.
That I'm going to ask to each of you. Kristen, favorite musical moment that isn't Hey Big Spender or If You Could See Me Now?
There's got to be something better than this. That was very quick for me to answer. The music is so fun for me to play, and it's super energetic. Those girls are dancing their hearts out down there, out of breath, but not you don't notice it. Super energy and just fun.
Mimi, favorite costume that isn't the big reveal costume at the end?
That's interesting. I like the Fandango Girl tango costumes. They're just, each one is different, and I like it. That's my favorite.
And Maria, favorite moment in the show that doesn't have to do with prostitution?
Easy. The elevator scene.
Yes, the elevator scene is awesome.
Excellent.
And Chris does such a great job.
He's amazing.
Oh,
Maria
my God.
Reif, Kristen Baltus, Miriam Halpern, thank you so much. Live Arts is a production of Sweet Charity, already on, going on until January 6th. Get your tickets now before the tickets aren't available to be gotten. Thank you.
Thank you, Clinton and Leslie.
Yeah, right. Get that in there. All right.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for having us.
Oh, my goodness. It's been another show, Clinton.
It's been another show and another rantless show.
I know. Just, I'm sorry.
You're going easy on us. What
I'm
the
sorry.
Heck?
I tell you what. Next week I will come back and it will be absolutely just crazy. You won't even know what hit you next week. All right, I promise.
Please, because you know we haven't had anybody calling in and complaining about the rant in weeks.
I've missed those little conversations with Jeff. Somebody called in. Well, whatever.
Right. Well, this has been Homegrown, your show about local art. We'd like to thank our guests, Pastor Xavier Jackson, and of course Maria Reif, Kristen Baltus, and Miriam Halpern. Coming up next is Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host Rick Moore. His guest is going to be Bob Gibson from UVA Center for Politics, talking about the effect of Trump's election on Virginia and, of course, on the country at large. It's a large, large country. It's a large, large world. Have a large, large day. We'll see you back later on. Real bigots burn bridges and real tickets. I ain't gotta be specific. You feel me if you live it. And if you live it, you go to this shit out of giving. Depending. You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.